Brilliant. Thank you, Maggie. Please do open up, keep that passage open in front of you. Well, welcome back to Adopted. In this series of five talks, what we're doing is looking at what life is like in God's family. And if you haven't realised it before, that's what Christianity is all about, what it means to be a Christian. It's not about empty religion, it's about being adopted into God's family. In fact, it's the very reason why Jesus came into the world. We've been saying that God's Son came into this world. He joined us in our mess so that we can join him in God's family. And what we're going to do this morning is to look at hope. The confident hope that we can have if we are adopted into God's family. So let's pray. Father God, we want to pray this morning that you might open our eyes and our hearts, that we might understand more clearly what is the hope we have if we're adopted into God's family. Please build in us a deep confidence, we pray. Amen. Well, our question then, as we look at this topic of hope, is the question up on the screen. How does being a child of God mean that I can face death? Now, it goes without saying, isn't it, that death is an issue which faces us all. With every passing birthday, the clock of death ticks louder and louder inside all of us. But the great claim of someone who has been adopted into God's family is that they can face death with a confidence and a joy in the midst of the sadness and pain and brutality of death. A guy I knew back in a previous church suddenly died last Saturday. He was aged just 48, and it's left everyone in that church community shocked. His wife that he has left behind wrote these words this week. The very distressing past few days have been made so much more bearable by the amazing support we have received from dear neighbours, family and close friends, for whom I shall forever be indebted. Johnny was a much loved husband, father, brother, friend, guitar buddy, colleague and son. We don't have all the answers, but our faith has given us great comfort knowing he is reunited with Jesus. That is the great kind of confidence and hope someone can have if they're adopted into God's family. And so here this morning, what I want us to do, if you're here and as a Christian, I want to deepen your hope this morning. I want you to become more confident in the hope you have. If you're here this morning and you're someone who's not yet a Christian, but you're just kind of looking into things, then welcome. And I want you this morning to catch a glimpse of what life is like inside God's family. We're going to do that by looking at Romans chapter 8 again. It's the passage we've been looking at over the last few weeks, and the one we just had read to us. If you remember, Paul's point in this chapter is to give us who are Christians absolute confidence that because we belong to Jesus, then we can become part of God's family and that we have a certain hope in the face of death. Have a look at verse 15 to 17 again. Here we go, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Paul's saying this, isn't he? He's saying if we're adopted into God's family, then we share in the family inheritance. That was the great reason for adoption in the ancient world, the kind of context he was writing in. You adopted someone if you wanted to pass on your inheritance to them. And the inheritance we get in God's family is to share in the very same inheritance that Jesus, God's Son, has. If we're in Jesus, God's Son, then, well, his family is our family, but not only that, his inheritance is our inheritance. We become co-heirs with Jesus. So what I want to do this morning is to look at three key questions about Jesus' inheritance that we get to share in. Okay, three simple questions. Question number one, what is our hope? What is that inheritance? And this is going to be our longest kind of question we're going to think about. And the answer comes in verses 18 to 25. And the answer is mind-blowing. Our future hope involves no less than the entire created order. Our inheritance is no less than the whole universe. Have a look at verse 18, 19, first of all. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Here you have then, it's like the picture of a whole load of fans, a kind of crowd of fans waiting and kind of standing on tiptoes to kind of peer over the people in front to catch a glimpse of that film star who's about to come into sight. So it is, the entire created order, the universe, is waiting, standing on tiptoes, as it were, for the appearance of all those adopted into God's family to make an appearance. Now, what is all that about, hey? Well, let's follow through Paul's logic. Okay, let's look. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, that's God, who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom and the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. What's going on now? Well, Paul's taking us back to the beginning of the Bible and back to the beginning of human history. Back at the beginning, when the first humans were there, well, the sad story is they turned away from God and his love. And because of that, the entire creation was subjected to futility. Now you can see all this if you want to later by having a little read through Genesis chapter 3. It tells the story of Adam and Eve. When they took the fruit, they rejected God's love for them. And what happened was God brought a curse on the ground. In fact, the entire created order from top to bottom was put under death and decay. The perfect harmony of the world God had made was lost. And so that explains why now we find ourselves living in a broken world, a world of death and decay, disease, famine, and natural disasters. Maybe you've never got why God would create a world full of so many problems. Well, the answer is he didn't. He created a world of such amazing harmony. But when we turn from him, that was ruined. Perhaps you're here and you struggle to believe in the idea of a literal Adam and Eve. Well, let me say this. If you look out at the problems in the world and think in your heart, surely that's not how things were meant to be, well, then deep down you believe that things must have gone wrong at some point in the past. You're not so far away from believing in the story of Adam and Eve. But here the incredible promise in Romans chapter 8 is, verse 21, that one day the entire creation will be freed from that death and decay. One day creation will be brought, as Paul says, into a glory which will last forever. So verse 20, we've got creation being subject to death and decay. And verse 21, we've got the freeing of creation from that death and decay. But notice the connection between verses 20 and 21. I think it's the real thrust of what Paul's saying here. God subjected this creation to death and decay in hope. God put the world, this world, under a curse in order that he might bring it into that glory forever and ever. I mean, back in Genesis chapter 3, at the beginning of human history, when people turned their backs on God, God could have nuked this creation out of existence, annihilating it all. But he didn't. Why? Because he had a plan. His plan was one day this world would be freed. Now, it's worth pausing on that. It means as we look at the world out there, a world of death, decay and disease and all the rest, well, it should, whenever we see those things, point us forward. Point us forward to a day when this world